Well, this morning, I want to do something a little bit different. I'd like for us today to consider a Bible DNA test. A Bible DNA test. Turn to Genesis chapter 5. And let me, this morning, by God's help, make it very clear today that every single one of us are related through Adam. That's a fact.
Amen.
You have different nationalities, different races, different color of skin, different dialects, differences galore. But we all go back. If you trace the family tree and go back far enough, we go back to a man by the name of Adam and a woman by the name of Eve. Let me begin reading at verse number 1 of chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, this morning we thank you for the service that we've already enjoyed, appreciated the music that's warmed our hearts, and dear Lord, every aspect of the service, the Sunday school hour. And now, as we come to this part of the service, we ask that our minds will be clear and our hearts will be opened, and help us to understand some simple truths from the Word of God that will give us a greater bearing upon our lives now as we understand something about our background and realize what you would have us to do. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, advances, we all know this morning, advances in DNA testing are allowing people more and more to uncover all kinds of information about their genetic ancestry, and to find out where some of their ancestors came from. We know that DNA testings enable that happening. These tests usually are pretty expensive, sometimes $200 or more, to take these tests. But you know, the thing about it that I would like to mention this morning is they do have their limitations. For human beings err in their judgments and err in their calculations and their scientific formulas because man, being man, is imperfect and makes mistakes and is not altogether totally accurate. Maybe I can save us a little bit of money today and a little bit of effort and by keeping our DNA as simple as a biblical record. Because after all, here is the foundation book of the Bible. Here we see the foundation truth concerning the family of humans. Here we see a record of the first person who ever lived. Here we see a record of what this man's name was, Adam. We find he lived to be a ripe old age, but eventually he died. We know that he bore two sons, Cain and Abel. One of them slew the brother. We know later on he bore a son by the name of Seth. You can read in a Genesis record. You can read the background of the families that came on the scene following Adam. You can trace them all the way up to Noah and to the flood. But again, it's crystal clear, based upon the Bible, that Adam and Eve began the human race. Their descendants resulted in more descendants and more descendants in ages past, generations past. millenniums passed, and we're where we are today in 2018. But in tracing back, we all have one common denominator. We're all related to Father Adam and to Mother Eve. I find in Genesis 5 that we all have descendants of the same family. We owe our physical lineage to this man who I mentioned and to this woman who I mentioned. This chapter is a key chapter in the book of Genesis. It includes a lot of names. It traces the history of mankind from Adam to Noah and cites the lifespan of Adam's descendants. You will notice that they all had one main thing in common. With the exception of one man, they all kicked the bucket. That's West Virginia for the dad. They all did. Now, one of them didn't kick until he was 969 years of age, but he finally kicked too. Methuselah. You heard about him, haven't you? Man made it to 969 years of age. And then he kicked the bucket, like everyone else. But you see, it's interesting when you read all of this. One did beat the odds. And that, of course, that required a supernatural working of God. This man still lived to be 365 years of age, even until God's amazing grace and power caused him to beat the odds. He lived 365 years and then went to heaven in his body. Enoch was his name. He walked with God and was not, for God took him. God took him before death took him. That's how I like to go. God took him before death took him. We see some plain biblical DNA truths in this great chapter. I am intentionally today keeping this as simple as I know how. I may throw in a little bit of homespun verbiage to try to illustrate my point. If this message today can save you a little bit of money, you can send me the $200 if you want to. But I can tell us all today where we came from. Here's my first point that I want to make. Our ancestry goes back to a man named Adam. That's already been made clear. We already see that. God created man. God called his name Adam. Adam lived in a paradise. God gave him a helpmeet by the name of Eve. Things were going well until a point. Then Satan stuck his ugly head into the picture. And Adam and Eve were tempted and failed the great test. Because of one man, sin entered into the world in death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. That beautiful, lovely, peaceful place called Eden now turns into chaos because of sin. But every single one of us today go back to Adam. In this church service, I'm certain we have folks of descent from different nationalities. English, German, Irish, Scots. This dear Mexican family back here from Mexico. We all have different backgrounds. But we still all go back to Adam. Amen. In the flesh, we're still brothers and sisters through Adam. That's humanly speaking. So the first thing we notice is this. Our ancestry goes back to a man named Adam. Secondly, could I mention this? We had a family member on the ark. You know, one of the great things, mistakes that we make in reading our Bible is keeping common sense and practical reasoning from our Bible reading. It helps us to appreciate the Bible more and more. There came a time that Noah came on the scene. Adam's generation after generation eventually led to a man by the name of Noah. Noah goes on the ark. We can truly, biblically say we're related to Noah, which means that we had a relative on the ark. Now, think about this morning. Noah's father was named Lamech. He begets sons and daughters, according to verse 30 of this chapter. Lamech, Noah's father, begets sons and daughters. They must have perished in the flood. Now again, draw from common sense and think this out for just a moment. Can you imagine that with that global flood that occurred, only Noah and his family were safe on the ark? Noah, here's a thought, here's food for thought. Noah was 500 years old when he begat the three sons that went on the ark, 500 years of age. He could have possibly, and I mean very, very possibly, he could have had other children. But these three are mentioned because they went on the ark. Can you imagine how many children you can have in 500 years? But they're not mentioned. Three are mentioned. Shem, Ham, Japheth. They're mentioned because they went on the ark. Now imagine the trauma that Noah must have felt, seeing not only the entire population of this earth rejecting the truth. And he preached faithfully for 120 years. And they rejected his truth. They said no to the truth. And not only did the world's population perish in the flood, but very, very possibly some in his immediate family. So we had a family member on the ark. Number three, this famous ancestor of ours, by the name of Adam, had some scoundrels in his future family tree. He had some scoundrels. You know what the word scoundrel means? It means a nut. It means someone that's sorry. It means someone that doesn't have it all together spiritually. That's what it means. That's a nut. That's how we define that in West Virginia. That's what a scoundrel is. Just a sorry person. Noah had, or Adam had, some sorry scoundrels in his family. You want me to prove it? It's easy to prove that one. One of his sons killed his brother. That man was a murderer. Murdered his own brother. Adam's family tree would include murderers, rapists, drunks, cheats, idolaters, thugs, and liars. That's not a very illustrious good report, is it? That man had those people in his future family tree. The earth at the time of Noah was filled with violence, hatred, and murder were rampant. That was in Adam's future family tree, and that's in our past family tree. Some of his offspring. And let me inject this thought. Some of Adam's offspring really showed themselves this past week as being scoundrels. In Judge Kavanaugh's hearing. Those, get mad at me if you want to, but the truth is the truth. If it hurts, it hurts. Some of those pathetic clowns were willing to trash a good man's name and family in order to put forth their party agenda and to block a Supreme Court judge who is against abortion. Primary reason, they fear Roe versus Wade being overturned. Also, would like to add, they exploited Dr. Ford for their own selfish agenda. They didn't care that much about her. They care about their agenda. The left-wing news media had the audacity to criticize the emotions and tears of the judge who gave testimony of his heartbreak over his family and name being destroyed because of a Washington power monger who wanted power over the country. God help us. If we get to the place in our lives where we can't weep tears of remorse over great harm being done, can you imagine a man who's lived a life and set the example and been an honorable person that had his name and reputation trashed? All because of the name of political power and agenda. I'd be mad too this morning. I'd be weeping too this morning. I would be upset too this morning. And that crowd of media had the audacity to make fun of that man's tears and say we don't need an emotional judge like that anyway on the Supreme Court. The main reason, and I'm pointing out, I'm giving you the lesson of today of the fact that Adam had some scoundrels in his future family tree. Main reason they oppose the judge, he's against abortion. You and I this morning believe this because we believe our Bibles. We believe that the blood of the unborn is crying out for revenge against baby killers who justify their murderings in the name of women's rights. The Bible says because of one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. The sin condition of Adam was passed on to the human race. You and I sin today by nature and we sin by choice. It's because of sin today that people act the way they act. Amen. But when God comes into a person's life, things change, praise the Lord. Fourth thing that I will mention this morning, we all came from the same loins of a sinner and we have his DNA. We came from the loins of a sinner. If you need further explanation or proof of that point, here it is. Mark 7, verses 21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these things come from within and defile the man. There you have proof of bad DNA. There you have proof of the sin problem. There you have proof for the reason today that you and I have a gospel preaching church service and we preach the gospel and we tell sinners to get saved and we encourage God's people to clean up their lives because sin is a terrible thing. That's in everybody's DNA. But thank God the blood of Jesus Christ has an answer. Then, let me say this. We have an ancestor in chapter 5 that had a great testimony. The Bible says in verse number 24, same chapter, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. The name was Enoch, and the testimony was he walked with God. Now, how did his walk begin, is the big question. His walk began because there come a time in his life that Enoch recognized the fact he was a sinner. And Enoch recognized the fact that God was the answer. Even though Jesus had not come at that point, we understand even in the Old Testament there were sacrifices required. And when that Old Testament person would take that sacrifice and offer that sacrifice, they were as much as saying, I'm a sinner, there's a need of a substitute. And they placed their hands on that sacrifice. As I slew that sacrifice, and they were typifying, looking down through the annals of time, where God's Lamb Himself, Jesus Christ, would die on that cross. They were saved on credit. They were saved by looking forward to the cross. You and I are saved by looking back at the cross. But the way of the cross leads home. In any case, the Bible says in Hebrews, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. By faith, he came to a knowledge of God. And then that's when his walk began. That's when his walk begins. Our walk with God begins when we get saved. Our walk with God begins at Calvary. That's where our walk with God begins. So in looking back at our biblical DNA records, isn't it encouraging to know that in Genesis chapter 5, where it keeps on saying he lived, he died, he lived, he died, but in the midst of that chapter, with the annals of the dead, we have one man who walked with God. Oh, it's a blessed thing to realize, regardless how dark the times might get, it's still possible to walk with God. And so when I look at Genesis chapter 5, yes, I came from Adam, and I'm ashamed of what Cain did, and I'm ashamed of what the rest of that crowd did, but oh, I'm proud of my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather by the name of Enoch. Then, you know this, Adam's registry was a registry of death. It was a registry of death. Speaking of death, 8 times in the chapter it says, and he died. 8 times. Have you ever paid much attention to grave markers in cemetery? Sometimes it can really be uplifting to read the testimonies that people share their last epitaph on their grave mark in the cemetery. Years ago, Carol and I went to Old Salem, walked through the cemetery there. In an example of what I'm saying, you have tremendous epitaphs of saints of God that died, that went home to be with the Lord, who are absent from the body, present with the Lord, who gives testimony of that final victory. You walk through cemeteries and you see those epitaphs, faithful unto death, now in heaven, saved and delivered, or whatever the case might be. But sometimes you find a little humor in cemeteries. And I admire a little humor. I think you all know that. I don't think a little humor is out of order, even in our golden years and olden years. I think if we know the Lord, I still think we can laugh. It doesn't hurt. There have been some dillies. You find on tombstones from time to time in cemeteries. Let me give you an example. Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake. Stepped on the gas instead of the brake. Another one says, I told you I was sick. On a tombstone in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, this is what can be read. Under the sod and under the trees lies the body of Jonathan Pease. He's not here. There's only the pod. Pease shelled out and went to God. P-E-A-S-E. Remember that. Someone, this also was observed. The children of Israel wanted bread, and the Lord sent them manna. Old Clerk Wallace wanted a wife, and God sent him Anna. Y'all didn't hear me, did you? Children of Israel wanted bread, and God sent them manna. Old Clerk Wallace wanted a wife, and God sent him Anna. Here's one. Here lies the body of Thomas Proctor, who lived and died without a doctor. What about this one? Stranger tread this ground with gravity. Dennis Brown is filling his last cavity. Sometimes the problem with humor is it's hard to transition to seriousness. But I'll do the best I can with my final moments. We, in Genesis 5, can see our pedigree. We can see where our DNA would take us. We can see our beginning. We know that from the time that God made Adam, that God determined the length of these days. And when this day is over, when our days are over, we'll leave this world. From the instant of our birth, we begin a countdown towards death. And I know that all of us know that. Every cemetery, every funeral home, every hearse is a reminder that death is coming. Every reminder that death is coming should be a reminder that we need to prepare. You see, no one is prepared to die unless a person is prepared to live. Are you prepared this morning to meet death? The prophet said, prepare to meet thy God. You and I know today that death is a reality for people of all ages. Not just those who have lived long lives. The first human to die was Abel. And Abel was a young man. Just remember that. In other words, let me put it this way. The first human being that died, died young. What does that tell us? That tells us is be careful when you hide behind your age. Be careful when you justify your life with the attitude or the idea that I'm young and I still have time and I'll make preparation later. That's not the way it works. I don't need to stand here this morning and bore any of you with illustration after illustration that the newspapers are packed with, letting us know that people are dying all around us, young and old and middle-aged. Storms, earthquakes, car wrecks, plane crashes, famines, killings, on and on the list goes. A person is not prepared to die until they are prepared to live. The only preparation this morning is Jesus Christ. Amen. Life is short. It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. Adam's book of registry is a book of death. But thank God I close this morning by the fact that the last Adam's book of registry is a registry of life. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Adam. The first book of the Bible gives the origin of Adam, and the first book of the New Testament gives the origin of the last Adam. And then think about this. For as in Adam, all die. Even so those, so in Christ shall all be made alive. The book of Adam is a registry of death, but the book of Christ, the last Adam, is a register of life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Thank God today you can get out. Oh yes, you'll stay in the registry of death physically unless the rapture comes. But if you get in the Lamb's book of life, you will be in the registry of life, because to know Jesus Christ is to have life eternal. I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. So our background may look kind of bad in Adam, but thank God our uplook and our outlook is pretty bright in the last Adam. So don't let your DNA scare you too much, because there's still hope in Christ. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father,